Africa. There's plenty of bad news out of Africa. We report on it regularly, from the conflict in Congo to the cholera outbreaks in Zimbabwe. But there is some good news. Charles Stith is the former U.S. ambassador to Tanzania, and he is an editor of the book For Such a Time as This, African Leadership Challenges. It's a new book. He says that Africa does have a lot of good things happening, and he joins us now from Boston. Welcome, Ambassador.
Thank you.
So good news. Good news. Give it to us.
Well, the continent, I think, is on a real growth trajectory at this point. We track 16 countries on the continent, and they are all serious about democratization. They're serious about reforming their economies along free market lines. And though it's only 16 countries out of the 53 in the continent, 48 in the sub-Saharan Africa, and that's a little bit more than a third of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa, overall, it's about two-thirds of the population of the continent. It has about 650 million people. So the good news is that the vast majority of folks on the African continent wake up every morning in a country where they can participate in deciding who runs the country. They don't have the Guinea problem that you referenced earlier in the news report. And they live in countries where the leadership is really trying to reform the economies in a way that they can maximize their opportunities and improve the quality of life for them and their families.
Among those 16, you would include Mali, South Africa, Ghana, Cape Verde, Mauritius. Profile
Tanzania,
one of the
Tanzania.
Botswana. Profile one of them for us. What do they have in common, and what makes this possible given so much conflict in the past, the colonial rule in the past, and in modern history? All of those things, what has helped these countries, in your mind, grow?
Well, let me start with the last question first, and that is the kind of historical question that gives some context to what's happening now. At the point of the end of colonialism, most countries on the continent had very little, if any, infrastructure at all. I'll never forget when I was talking to the former president of Mozambique, Joaquim Chissano, during his last term, and I asked him what was the colonial experience under the Portuguese, what was that like? And he said to me, and I'll never forget it, that if they had had apartheid in Mozambique, it would have been a step up from what they experienced under colonialism at the hands of the Portuguese. So it is really building physical infrastructure, a kind of social infrastructure. Many of these countries, there were no African lawyers, doctors, or teachers, very few in the way of schools. All of that had to be built up. Then there was also the Cold War, which was a very hot war in Africa. At one point, there were some 50 conflicts going on. And as is the case in any war, you can't develop in the midst of destruction. Mm-hmm. And then finally, you had the impact of apartheid, which from the U.S. perspective, we tended to focus only on its impact on the native South Africans. But the reality is that the South African government did a lot to destabilize the entire continent. They went as far north as Tanzania in trying to depose the late Julius Nyerere, one of the most well-respected figures on the continent and in the world. Now that all of that's behind the continent, it's really poised and positioned to move in some rather dramatic ways.
Yet, Ambassador, if you look at the Zimbabwe situation, you have a political stalemate that evolves into a deterioration of infrastructure and what many international observers are now viewing as possibly a failed state. And you already have Congo as an example of a state that goes that direction, Somalia to a certain extent. That is sort of the political shadow, I think, that haunts the post-colonial African narrative.
Well, I think it's simply because that's the stuff we focus on. I mean, it really is, at the end of the day, the tail wagging the dog, because the numbers speak for themselves. You've got 16 countries with 650 million people out of 800 million. So the vast majority of people are in countries that are on track. And what you're seeing—
But is it really just a majority game? I mean, you just play a sort of a— if a majority is going in the right direction, that means the trends on the continent are acceptable?
Well, I'd certainly say it's better than the converse, that if we had the majority of people living in situations that were as unstable as what we see in Guinea and in Zimbabwe and Congo, the continent would be in a lot worse shape. But the good news is that the numbers of states that are coming online in terms of issues of governance and the economy is increasing. When we started the center in 2001, there were 13 countries. You know, today there's 16 countries. There's a lot of pressure.
You're talking about the center at Boston University,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the African Presidential Archives and Research Center. Thank you, Adoria. You've got— the trend is going in the right direction. Even the situation in Zimbabwe, recently elected president Khama in Botswana has come out in strong opposition to Mugabe. And my sense is that I think leaders in the region will begin to turn up the pressure on him. I think one of the other things that's promising is the introduction of new technologies on the continent, number one of which are cell phones.
And that has certainly exploded, Ambassador, in the last couple of years. But we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate your perspective, and you certainly give us a few things to think about this morning about Africa. Charles Stith, former ambassador to Tanzania, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
The ambassador is also the editor of For Such a Time as This, African Leadership Challenges.